Narayanam Namaskritya Nanam Shiva Narottamam Divyam Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Chapter entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, Text number 5. Shankadundu Bigoshena. Brahmagoshena Chatriyam Vivesha Bhavanam Vira Stuyamano Gatasmaya Shankadundu Bigoshena Brahmagoshena Chatriyam Vivesha Bhavanam Vira Stuyamano Gatasmaya Shankadundu Vigoshena Brahmagoshena Chatujam Vivesha Bhavanam Vira Suryamano Gatasmaya. Shankar. Conchels. Dundubi. Kettle drums. Goshena. By the sound of. Brahma. Vedic. Goshena. Chanting. Cha, also, Ritvijam, of the priests, Vivesha, entered, Bhavanam, the palace, Vira, the king, Stuyamana, being worshipped, Gatasmaya, without prana. Translation of Gopal by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the king entered the palace, conch shells and kettle drums were sounded, priests chanted Vedic mantras, and professional reciters offered different prayers. Just turn it down. Just a tiny bit. But in spite of all this ceremony to welcome him, the king was not the least bit affected. Translation responsibly. When the king entered the palace, conch shells and kettle drums were sounded. Priests chanted Vedic mantras. And professional reciters offered different prayers. But in spite of all this ceremony to welcome, the king was not the least bit affected. Purport. The reception given to the king was full of opulence, yet he did not become proud. It is said, therefore, that great personalities of power and opulence never become proud. And the example is given that a tree which is full of fruits and flowers does not stand erect in pride, but instead bends downwards to show submissiveness. This is a sign of the wonderful character of great personalities. Omagyan timadandashikananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamaya dadati swa vedantikam. Vancha kalpata rubyascha kripa sindubhi eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in the previous chapter, Maharaj Prithu was having direct darshan of Lord Vishnu himself, God himself. So this is extraordinary. If you have darshan, what does darshan mean? Darshan means to see. You go to a darshan. We'll say, we'll go and see Maharaj, have darshan. What does it mean? It means to see. It means you see the great person. You come to the great personality and you see them. So it is rare. It's rare that you see a great person. How often, how many times a day do you see a famous person or a great person? How often do you see? You know, how often do we see someone who's known all over the world? It's rare. Right. And when someone comes who is known all over the world, people come from everywhere to see them. Just like you'll see the King and Queen of England. Not the actual King and Queen. Even when they come out. You see when they come out in England. Everyone comes out, right, in public. Yeah, thousands of people come. Just to see darshan of the great personalities, the famous personalities. So that is the nature. When someone is a great personality, when someone has opulence. What is opulence? Aishwaryasya samagrasya. Viyasha yasha shriya. Gyanavairagiyas chaiva. Shanambhaga itingina. What makes someone great or attractive to others? There are six qualities. Aishwarya. Aishwarya means opulence. Yeah. Person has lots of wealth. Is very opulent. Then everyone wants to see. Just like if Bill Gates or someone like that, just because he has opulence, just because he has wealth, people are attracted. If he was coming into the temple, people would go out and see, oh, there is the wealthy person. It is attractive. Virya. Virya means strength. Some very powerful person is there, then we will go and see. Yasha. Yasha means famous. Someone's famous. Shriya means beautiful. Jnana means wise person. Very wise person. Yeah, someone like Albert Einstein or someone. And someone has a lot of jnana. Then people are attracted. They're a famous person. And then Vairagya. Vairagya means detachment. Someone like, say, the Dalai Lama. Detached. Then people are attracted to that. Oh, he is detached. So anyone who has these six opulences, they become attractive. So it's rare that you meet someone who has exalted like that, and then everyone knows them. So who has the opulences in full? Shanambhaga itingana means unlimitedly. One person has the six opulences unlimitedly. Now that is God. That is Bhaga. Bhaga means the opulences. Bhagavan means one who has all the opulences. That's God. And then we're attracted. So in the previous chapter, Prithu Maharaj has just seen God. This is a rare darshan. This is the goal of our life. Hands up if you have seen God. One person has seen. Where did you see? Here on the altar you saw. Good answer. Good answer. But have you seen the original form? This is the question we are asking. Hands up if you have seen the original form of God. Actually, all of us have. But it has been so long since we saw, we have forgotten. You can't even remember. Think about it on a deeper level. It has been so long since we have seen Krishna, seen God, we cannot even remember. That's the situation we are in. You cannot even remember. We've seen him. That's not that we have not seen. We've seen him. We used to live with him. We used to see him every day. We used to spend hours and hours and hours serving him every day. And now we can't even remember that. That's the reality of where we are situated. That is the power of Maya. Maya means illusion, that which is not. It has been so long since you have seen God, you cannot even remember seeing God. And to be honest, most of us don't really even care that much. It doesn't even mean that much to us. Oh, sorry, I haven't seen him for so long. It doesn't matter so much. Yeah, I get good food every day. It's okay. Maybe I'll see him one day. No. If you want to see him, then you have to develop the desire to see him. And actually, that is the entire sum and substance of the Hare Krishna movement. Right? Cultivating the desire to see Krishna once again. Right? At the deepest level of our being, I must see Krishna once again. That should be the driving force. That should be the driving force behind your chanting. That should be the driving force behind your service. That should be the driving force behind your life, your existence. Why you rise in the morning. I must see Krishna. Again, face to face. Prabhupada said, that is the goal of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Prabhupada said, you will take Krishna by the hand and lead him like Mother Yashoda. Prabhupada said that is the goal of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Now, if we ask what is your goal as members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, what is your goal? To serve Krishna. Very good. What is your goal? Why are you in this Krishna Consciousness Movement?
Give Krishna to others.
Very good, yeah. That's noble. Very good. Why are we in this Krishna Consciousness Movement?
To go back to Godhead.
To go back to Godhead. Are you tired of being here?
Everybody. Why? Yes.
Yeah. I'm hoping you are tired of being here. You become detached from South Bank.
Everywhere.
Good. It says in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, if you feel like that, that is the special mercy of Krishna. If you feel like that, that is the special mercy of Krishna. To feel, because most people in this world don't feel like that. That's why there's only a few of us sitting here. There's 5 million people in this city, nearly 6 million people in this city. There's only a few of us because people don't feel like that. Prabhupada says you have to become like crushed. You know, when you've got a mortar and pestle, right, and you've got cardamom seeds, you put them in and you crush them. You have to go through that. Then you start feeling, I want to serve Krishna. So everyone out there is getting crushed at the moment. We've already been crushed. We're kind of like powdery at this point. That's why we're here. Because the crushing has been enough. And now we're happy. And a sign of advancement is you're happy when you're being crushed. That's actually a sign of happiness. It actually says, when you grind sandalwood pulp, you put pressure, right? Sandalwood's what we use to decorate the deities. It's a pulp of the sandalwood tree. You put water, you get a grinding mortar. You put the water and then you crush the wood and it turns into a paste, right? Now, the more you put pressure, the sweeter the fragrance becomes. A sign of someone who is advanced in Krishna consciousness is the more pressure is applied, the sweeter they become. The sign of someone who's not very advanced is when you're being ground, you complain a lot. Oh, why is this happening to me? Ah, oh, why is that not happening to him? Ah, oh, how come I get it all the time? Why doesn't anyone like me? Why doesn't Krishna like me? It's actually, sometimes we say these things in our mind, or even sometimes we say them vocally. But the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement, right, is to serve Krishna under any circumstances. And then you'll see Krishna. That's the goal. The goal is to see him again. We have to want to see him again. One time my guru, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami, it's his disappearance day in 2 days. He said one time, devotees asked him, why do so many people leave the Hare Krishna movement? Prabhupada once said, don't be surprised who comes, be surprised who stays. And Prabhupada said, yeah, so many people will come, but who will stay? And Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, everyone else can leave, but you stay. That should be the determination of all of us, each devotee. I will stay. All of you can go, but I will stay. Up to you. Whatever you want to do, that's your choice. But I will stay. That's how every devotee must feel. Right? I will stay here. I will wake the deities. I will do Mangalati. I will dress all of them. I will go and cook the breakfast. I will come back, I will offer the breakfast. I'll go into the paraphernalia room. I'll clean everything. And then I'll go and cook lunch. And then I'll come back and I'll offer. And then I'll do the aarti. And then I'll go and I'll put them to rest. And then I'll do that every day. And after 6 months, I will die. Imagine if you had to do it all by yourself. That's intense. That's intense. But that should be our determination. Everyone else can leave. But so one time, they asked my guru, Maharaj, Tamal Krishna, they said, why do devotees leave? He said, one reason is because they are not sufficiently attached to Krishna. That's a fact. You see, if you want to be a devotee for a long time, you know, not just a few years. You know, it's easy to be enthusiastic for a few years. Anyone can do that. But to be enthusiastic for decades, right, or half a century, or still enthusiastic when you're 70 years old or 80 years old, still enthusiastic. How do you get that kind of enthusiasm? You have to become attached to Krishna. You have to become attached to him, because then you can't live without him. If you love someone, you think about them all the time. When you begin to love Krishna, develop that attachment to him, rati, then you think about him. Well, you can't live without him. It's not possible. How do we live without Krishna? So that's how we will stay in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you will lose your enthusiasm. Now, if you want to become attached to Krishna, the most effective way is Shravanam Kirtanam. That will lead to Vishnu Smaranam. Because what is the goal? Rupa Goswami says the goal of Krishna consciousness, always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. How is that possible? By hearing and chanting. How do you remember someone if you don't hear about them? You have to know them intimately, inside and out. That's why Prabhupada said you should read the Krishna book every night before you go to sleep. Then you will dream of Krishna. Have you ever dreamt of Krishna? I've never dreamt of Krishna. I don't have very spiritual dreams. You know, occasionally, very, very occasionally, Prabhupada will come into my dream or my guru, very occasionally, but not regularly. Most of the time the dreams are crazy. Like doing this, going off there. Even one of our gurus, one of the gurus in the Hare Krishna movement, he said, every morning when I wake up, I am an atheist. I wake up in the morning and then I have to recommit myself and serve Krishna again. In the subtle body, so many things happen. But when we become purified, even in the dreams, you will see Krishna. You will think of service. Then you will know. Even the dreams. You wake up and you're like, oh, I have to serve Krishna, I have to serve Krishna. So you have to become attached to Krishna. So this is Maharaj Prithu. In the previous chapter, he saw God. Right? How exalted that he actually saw God. God actually came and was in front of him. Actually saw him with his own eyes. In this world, not in the spiritual, but in this world. God came himself. Vishnu came himself. This is the goal of Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam is showing us this is the goal, to see face to face. Now in this chapter, what is this chapter? He's entering back into the kingdom after doing the great yajna. And it says, like in this verse it says, there are conch shells, kettle drums, Vedic mantras being chanted, professional reciters offering prayers. And there was great ceremony to welcome him. That is Vedic culture. When someone comes, we offer respect. Just like in our culture, when someone comes, you have to offer respect. Just like when a great person comes, you put sandalwood pulp on the head, you'll see. Just like you'll see in Mayapur or Vrindavan in the mornings, the Guru Puja, they'll put sandalwood pulp, you saw, on Prabhupada. And that's like that. On the deities, we'll put sandalwood. When a great person comes, you put sandalwood pulp to cool. Sandalwood cools. So you put it on near the brain. It makes everything very cool, very pleasant. Especially when it's in India, it's very hot. And then they offer a garland. Just like when the person sits down to speak the Bhagavatam, what must we do? Offer a garland. Where is the garland? Sitting over there. Everyone forgot. But when the speaker speaks, he's representing Vyasadeva, God's representative. Whoever speaks is representing God himself. He must be offered a garland. Oh, now, let's get the garland. Class is nearly finished, let's get the garland. This is not good. This is not good. It means people are neglecting the process. Because when the speaker speaks, he must be offered. That's the system. Oh, thank you. So unexpected. That's the system. It means everyone was neglectful. Why did no one notice that the speaker did not have the garland? Why did everyone neglect? Prabhupada said, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. If you can't even remember basic things, how are you going to remember to become a pure devotee of Krishna? And if you don't even know which petrol to put in the car, you know, sometimes you hear the devotees, they put diesel in instead of unleaded or unleaded. Instead of, you know, and the car breaks down, everyone's going, oh. That's the Hare Krishna movement. People walk around going, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The car doesn't even work, but at least we can chant the holy name. Hare Krishna. And then devotees say stupid things. Krishna made me forget. Krishna didn't make you forget. You've got nothing in there. Right? One time Prabhupada said to Dhananjaya Prabhu, one of his disciples. Anyone know Dhananjaya Prabhu? One of Prabhupada's disciples. He was temple president in Vrindavan. When Prabhupada was on the path. So they were walking into the temple, into the Vrindavan temple. And then the bell, you know there's a big bell up above the entranceway? And Prabhupada said that bell must be rung every hour and every half hour. On the half hour it goes ding, one dong. And then on the hour it rings how many, whatever time it is. So you always hear it. You know, 1 o'clock, ding, 2 o'clock, ding, ding, like that. Prabhupada said it must always be rung. So Prabhupada was walking in and they pulled the bell. Because Prabhupada was walking, so they were ringing the bell as he walked into the temple to see the deities. And then there has to be like a levy, like a wheel So the when you pull the bell, it doesn't rub, but they didn't put that there. So it was rubbing on the wall. So as Prabhupada walked in, they pulled it, and the rope rubbed, and then the rope broke. So they went, and the rope just went. And Prabhupada said, "What is this?" Prabhupada was not impressed. "What is this?" Dhananjaya Prabhu said, "Oh, Prabhupada," and started making excuses. "Oh, this and that." Prabhupada said, "Yes, because there's nothing in there, only cow dung. Only cow dung, nothing else in there." Not very good. Forget the garlands. Why? Only cow dung. Nothing else in there. So many things we forget. That's not good. Devotees should be conscious. Then Krishna conscious. How are you going to serve Krishna? How do you think you'll get back into the spiritual world? You go back to the spiritual world, what, you'll forget Krishna's garland? "Oh, sorry, Krishna, I had too much sweet rice last night. I'm not thinking straight. You know, oh, I forgot that." No. Krishna will say, "Okay, back to the material world. Go and practice again." Right? How many times can you come here? What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? He said, "Once you return, you never return again." But then they asked Prabhupada, "Can you come back again?" And Prabhupada thought about it. Prabhupada said, "It is possible." He thought about it. He said, "It is possible." But he said, "Generally, it does not happen. But don't think it's not impossible. You get back there, you're a little neglectful. Krishna will say, okay. You know, back to South Bank. Right? He'll send you again." So we have to become conscious in our service. And then we will attain Krishna. So they offered a beautiful reception here. They didn't forget the garland. Imagine Prithu Maharaj walks in. Did everyone forget the garland? Oh, the king is there. Oh, should someone go? No. Everything was there. Sandalwood pulp, garlands, chanting mantras, throwing flower petals as he walked into the city. Everything was prepared beautifully. That's the system. Even, you know, when you're a new devotee, okay. You know, some people walked in here, they've only been here a few months. Okay, that's no problem. Because we're new, we're just learning. But you've been a devotee for a number of years. You should know all these things. You know, you should be up to the standard. When Prabhupada came, devotees did not know. So he had to train them. Prabhupada's first Vyasa Puja, one of the first, they had in Japan. Prabhupada was flying. If you read the Lilamrita, 1970, he was flying from America back to India, and they stopped in Japan. And they went to see the Dai Nippon printers to get the Bhagavad Gita printed and, you know, passed on. So it was Janmashtami, and it was Vyasa Puja. The day after is Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. So Janmashtami, the devotees said to Prabhupada, there's only like six devotees there. And they said to Prabhupada, "What do we do for Janmashtami?" Prabhupada said, "All day you sit in the temple, you just hear and chant about Krishna. All day. Just chant and read Krishna book." And Prabhupada himself sit there from like 10 o'clock at night to 12 o'clock, midnight, just reading Krishna book. Prabhupada was reading, everyone was just listening. Absorbing themselves and hearing and chanting about Krishna. So next day was Vyasa Puja. Only about six devotees there. And they didn't know what to do. You know, they hadn't done it before. They hadn't worshipped the guru like that before. So then on the Vyasa Puja, Prabhupada is sitting on the Vyasasana, you know, sitting on the seat of honor. And then at one point, Prabhupada said, "Where is Pushpa?" What does Pushpa mean? Flowers. Because, see, we offer flower petals to Prabhupada. Pushpa means you have to offer flower petals. When you come in Guru Puja, you offer the flower petals to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "Where is Pushpa?" It was actually my Guru Maharaj, 1970, you know, because they were new devotees, they didn't know. So Prabhupada said, "Where is Pushpa?" So Tamal Krishna Maharaj ran into the kitchen. He said, "Immediately, cook Pushpani rice." One prep called Pushpani, right? Like opulent rice. Prabhupada just They didn't know. They didn't know the difference between flowers and rice. That was what it was like. Prabhupada had to train them. Right? You see when they install, there's a video, and they're installing Parashishwara, the deities in Paris. Prabhupada himself had to get involved and do the whole installation. The devotees did not know what to do. Prabhupada installed Gaudiya Thai right there. You see the video. He installs them. Prabhupada did everything because they didn't know. Devotees didn't know what to do. He had to teach us always what to do. But once you know what to do, then you cannot be neglectful. Now you know you have to give the garland. Why do you forget? That's negligence in devotional service. And that kind of devotional service, that's not first class devotional service. And that will not take you back to Krishna. Right? You don't get back to Goloka Vrindavan on second class tickets. Right? You can't economy class. You need first class. If you want to get back to Krishna, your service has to come to the highest level. You have to become an expert. One of the 26 qualities of the devotee is daksha. Daksha means?
Expert.
Yeah, daksha means expert. You have to become expert. A devotee is expert. Prabhupada was expert at everything. You name every category of spiritual life. Prabhupada, he was an expert musician. Have you seen Prabhupada play and sing? He was an expert musician. He was an expert cook. When he started the movement, he had to teach the Matajis, his first female disciples, how to put a sari on. Prabhupada took the sari and wrapped it and put it on. Because they didn't know how to put a sari on. Prabhupada had to show them. He was expert in everything. Mother Jagatarini, you know, Burujan Prabhu's wife, Mother Jagatarini. First time, because, you know, she joined in Sydney. And she'd never met Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in America, she hadn't met him. So she joined. There weren't many Matajis around. And they said, you have to wear a sari. She didn't know what to do, so she wrapped it twice around instead of once around. So she wrapped it really tight, she was like a mummy. And then she walked all the way down to the park in Sydney to do the kirtan. She had to walk the whole way down the street like this, like a mummy. And she thought, you know, do I want to be part of the Hare Krishna movement? You know, we have to dress like this. She didn't know that. She thought that's how you wear it. Prabhupada had to teach everything. So we have to become expert in devotional service. So they offer this beautiful ceremony as he enters, as Prithu Maharaj enters. But then it says in this verse, how does he respond? How does Prithu Maharaj respond? What does it say in this verse? He's not affected. What does this mean?
Not flattered,
yeah. Devoid of pride. Being devoid of pride means you are very exalted or advanced in devotional service. All of us are the opposite. We are full of pride. We just do one little thing right and we become so proud. Oh, everyone recognizes it. Oh, you know, you lead a nice kirtan, or you give a nice class, or you cook a nice offering, or we do the aarti, you know. And then we think, oh, I did it so nicely. No? We go, and one devotee says to us, oh, Prabhu, you did. And he says, oh, Prabhuji, no, it's all your mercy. No, Prabhuji, it's all your mercy. So full of pride. There's an English saying, pride often wears the cloak of humility. And very nice saying. Might be Shakespeare, or I'm not sure. Really. Very nice saying. Pride will wear the cloak of humility. Now, we'll be very humble on the outside, but on the inside, it's a whole other situation. Easy to be external. Now, we're all very good at the externals. Oh, no, but what's going on in here? No, we like the recognition.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the biggest obstacle to becoming a pure devotee is pratishtha. Pratishtha means the desire for recognition. I want to be recognized all the time. I want everyone to recognize and tell me how good a devotee I am. But Prithu Maharaj was not like that. Even though everyone, imagine you walk in, the whole city is glorifying and worshipping you. A whole city. Remember the whole of Melbourne. You walk down Swanston Street. Right? You're walking down Swanston Street, the whole city comes out to worship you. Imagine that. How would that make you feel? Right? And you're not attached to it. That means you're very exalted. If you're not attached to all of that. Why was he not attached? Because he just saw Vishnu. He just saw God himself. And when you actually see God, how are you going to feel proud? He just saw the Lord of creation. He's a powerful king, but he just saw the King of Kings, the ultimate personality. So then he walks in and he's very humble. No. So the closer we get to Krishna, the more humble we become. If we're proud, it means we're not very close to Krishna. If we're very proud, it means we're not yet close to Krishna. Because then obviously we're not so exalted. So how do you become humble? Devotees ask this question. How do I develop humility? There's two very good ways to develop humility. Okay. First one. You have to compare yourself to those who are greater than you. You read Prabhupada Lilamrita. Right? So if you read Prabhupada Lilamrita and you see everything that Prabhupada did, and if you're still impressed with yourself after you compare yourself to Prabhupada, then okay. So by associating with the Bhagavatam, you read about Prithu Maharaj. You read about Prabhupada. You read about those great personalities. It will make you humble because you realize anything we do, everything we do, it's not that great compared to what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada created this temple. How many temples have you created? Prabhupada created hundreds of temples around the world. All right, we have 600 temples now around the world. Prabhupada is the inspiration for all of them. We can't even make our bed in the morning. And we're so proud. Right, and the second way to become humble, one is to compare yourself to great persons. The second way is to render menial service to devotees. Then you become humble. So what are examples of menial service? Getting the garland. Getting the mridanga. The other mridanga wasn't working. I said, it's not working. Can someone get another one? One devotee got up and went and got it. Everyone else is like, what the? No, rendering service makes you humble, menial service. You know, you bring the water. We have to do these services. Right? We get the mats for the devotees. We serve them prasadam. We serve the charanamrita. We bring the aarti lamp around. Service. Devotees are competing with each other to do service. Oh, Prabhu, let me do it. No, let me do it. No, you do it. Oh, you do it. Devotees are competing with each other. They want to serve. Just like when Swarup Damodar. Who was Swarup Damodar? He was Lord Chaitanya's secretary, Swarup Damodar. And Pundarik Vijayanidhi is a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So when they would come and see each other, Pundarik Vijayanidhi came to visit Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was there and he came to visit Lord Chaitanya, and Swarup Damodar was there. So they both stood up and they went to embrace each other, and then they went to take the dust from the feet of each other to show that I am your servant and the other one. But they were very strong, the two of them. and said they were like two bulls coming together. They were trying to get the dust of each other's feet, but they were wrestling and trying to grab the dust. And Lord Chaitanya was smiling and laughing, because the devotee always wants to serve the other devotee. So when you render menial service, you become humble. That's why every day, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, every day we should offer 5 menial services to the devotees. How many have you done today? How many menial services have we done to the devotees today? 1, 2, none? 5. I should be doing 5. When I was a brahmachari, when I was living in the ashram, I would try to do 5 by 8:30 in the morning. Because we're in here, but pretty much we're in here between 4:30 and 8:30. That's 4 hours. Get the mats, serve the charanamrita, take the aarti lamp around, bring the garland, get the water light. 5. You can do 5. But before you have breakfast, you've done your quota. And the rest of the day, you can sleep. No, you keep doing service. But that's the point. We should. You want to become humble. Devotees always say, oh, how do I become humble? Be practical. Devotees always say, oh, Prabhu, bless me to become humble. No, become humble. It's not blessings. Blessings just help. You have to change your attitude. Oh, bless me, I will become Krishna conscious. No, become Krishna conscious. Right? Blessings assist. Or they give impetus. Or they give great power. Blessings are very powerful. But you have to do the work. Prabhupada said you have to fly your own plane back to Krishna. No one else can do it for you. Not even your guru can do it for you. I can't do it for you. Your guru can't do it for you. No one else can do it. One person can take you back to Krishna. That's you, because you're the pilot. Everyone else is on the ground in the control tower saying, do this, do that, go this way, go that way, like that. Everyone gives you guidance, but you have to get back. At the time of death, there's only one person who can help you, and that's you. Everyone else will support you. Your guru has given you all the instructions how to get there. But you have to focus on Krishna at the time of death. Fix your mind on Krishna. So we see Prithu Maharaj. He saw Lord Vishnu himself, saw God himself, showed us the example. Right? And then when he entered into the kingdom, he showed us the example of how a devotee responds to accolades or attention or praise. He was humble. It says in the Bible, the meek will inherit the kingdom of God. All glories to the Bible. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Any questions?
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was mentioning that actually we should not act in such a way that we want to see God, but we should act in such a way that God will see us. Also, recently Bhagavatam class was feeling that actually he does not even desire to see Krishna, he just wants to serve him. And he sees Krishna in the service of Krishna. So what should we want? Should we serve? Should we meditate? And should we serve Krishna? Should we see you, or should we think, oh, Krishna, I just want to see your service?
Yeah. The mood of the devotee should be, as you said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. So that should be the way we feel in our heart. That should be our guiding instruction, our guiding light in our service. I was emphasizing more during the class, just because, we don't even have a desire to see Krishna. So I was emphasizing that. But actually, your point is more accurate. That we should act in a way that Krishna will want to see us. The point I was trying to make, we don't even have a desire to see Krishna. That's not good. We should have a burning desire to see Krishna. Prabhupada went on Braj Mandal Parikram in 1935, something like that. Prabhupada went, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was there. And Prabhupada did Braj Mandal Parikram. And Prabhupada said, as he was walking around Vrindavan, he kept expecting to see Krishna step out from behind a tree. That's how we should be in Vrindavan. Any moment, oh, Krishna could step out, Krishna could step out. What are we like in Vrindavan? We're just thinking, oh, what will I have for lunch? And oh, I hope the MVT is open. And that Prabhupada was thinking.
Also, I was reading in Shrimad and Prabhupada was mentioning that actually a pure devotee does even desire to go back to his spiritual life. So, what should we all know?
A pure devotee does not even desire to go back to the spiritual world. Prabhupada says that. On our level, it's true, because when someone is pure, like Prabhupada, you know, when someone's a pure devotee, if they go back or don't go back, they don't mind. They just want to serve. So if Krishna sends them back so they can keep preaching, they're happy to do that. And if Krishna takes them back, they're happy, whatever Krishna decides. But on our level, both desires are good. Because we're not so pure yet. So if we're cultivating the desire, I don't care if that's already in our heart. I don't care, I just want to serve and whatever happens. Then continue with that desire. But if it's an inspiration for you that I want to see Krishna or like that, then cultivate that desire also. At this point in time, just cultivate anything which is favorable anukuyena to becoming Krishna conscious. But when you're advanced, it doesn't matter. We're just emphasizing because we're not so advanced. You know, my emphasis was like, become attached to Krishna. We're not even attached to him. You know, we don't even think of him that much. We need to learn to think of him, that's all. So I was emphasizing a particular point, but that's nice. Thank you. Thank you for your association. Yes, sir. In which yuga is this pastime happening? Does anyone know? Prithu Maharaj, which yuga is it? It's one of the early yugas. I would say it's Satya or Treta, I would say. I don't know specifically. We could research it, find out. I don't think it's Kali Yuga. Because the way it's described, Kali Yuga is quite different. So I don't think it's Kali Yuga. Dwapara Yuga, maybe. Could be Dwapara. Early on in Dwapara. But I think it would be Satya or Treta. It's a long time ago. Which Yuga is the best?
Kali Yuga.
Kali Yuga.
Kali Yuga. You like Kali Yuga?
No.
But you just said it's the best.
Because for devotional service.
For devotional service, the best. One time, three sages, they were arguing which yuga is the best. One said Satya Yuga, one said Treta Yuga, one said Dwapara Yuga. So they came to Vyasadeva, Mahamuni, the great sage. And he was taking bath in the river at Bhadrak Ashram. So he took bath in the river. Mataji, Rasa Lila can be later. he was taking bath in the river, and the sages came to the bank, and he was in a very jovial mood. So he was dunking underwater, and then he was coming up, and then he'd go underwater again, then he would come up. He was in like a playful mood, enjoying himself. And then the sages said, oh, Srila Vyasadeva, which yuga is the best? Treta, Dwapara, or Satya. And he went under, and then he came up and he said, Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the best. Why is it the best? Jiva Goswami explains. Because we are suffering so much, it makes us really become attached to Krishna. Because in Satya Yuga everything is nice, and Treta Yuga is nice, and Dwapara Yuga is more nice. But here it's so intense, it makes us really chant the holy name intensely. And if you are not suffering, then just stay around. and it will come. When your hair turns grey, that means you have suffered. I see most of your hair is not grey yet, so that's why. Some of you, because sometimes when you're a young devotee, you don't understand. But when you've been around long enough, you will suffer. It is inevitable. Enjoy yourself. Because the suffering will come. And then you'll become really attached to Krishna. And then the sages said to Srila Vyasadeva, they said, which ashram is best? They were arguing. One said sannyas, one said vanaprast, one said brahmachari. He went under what he came up and said, grihastha is best. Especially in Kali Yuga, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, grihastha ashram is a very safe place for practicing devotional service. If you can be brahmachari, genuinely, then stay brahmachari. That is best. But generally, for most of the devotees, see, most of the congregational grihasthas, that is best in Kali Yuga. But if you're not michacha, Krishna says in third chapter of Gita, michacha means pretender. If you're not pretending, and you're actually renounced, then yeah, brahmachari is best. And then they said, three sages, they said, which vana is best? They were arguing. And then they said, one was saying Brahmana is best, one said Kshatriya is best, one said Vaishya is best. So Vyasa, if you put his head under water, he came up, he said, Mataji is best. Better than being born as a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya. He said, being born as a woman is best. Because Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, women are very soft-hearted and they have natural devotion to Krishna. Whereas men overcomplicate things. You know, when men are in front of the deities, they're saying, is this really God or is it not God? Am I really experiencing this or am I not experiencing this? Is this in my mind or is it real? Is the holy name real? Is it not? You know, men are like... Women are just like, Krishna is God, I will just serve him. Very simple-hearted. So the best birth you can take is as a woman in Kali Yuga, as a grihastha. That is the most exalted birth in the universe. Hare Krishna. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Any other questions?
Occasionally devotional service and then you do a mistake.
Say it again.
Occasionally it can happen by practicing devotional service and then you do a mistake.
Yeah.
So how can we atone for mistakes? Or sometimes
we forget it. It depends what the mistake is. If it's an aparad, which means an offense, then you have to follow the system for relieving yourself of the offense. So there are different ways to relieve yourself. So you have to understand which offense, because there's four different types of offenses.
Mm-hmm.
Seva aparad, nam aparad, Vaishnav aparad, jana aparad, or jiva aparad. So each one has a system in order to relieve yourself of that offense, so you have to follow. So, you know, if it's a mistake, there's different types of mistakes. Like you put the wrong petrol in the car. What's the way to relieve yourself? You go to the temple president or the Prabhudas or whoever, and you fall at their feet and say, I'm sorry, and don't do it again. Mm-hmm. Even Prabhupada, you know, like if devotees made mistakes, first time he was more lenient, second time he became angry. Third time he would not even talk to you. He was so upset. Hari Sariputra was his personal servant. I mean, some mistake Prabhupada would not, Prabhupada was so disgusted. First time's okay, everyone makes mistakes, that's okay. Second time, no. Third time, you are muta. You're a fool. So you make mistakes, okay, but don't keep making them. That's all. And if they're offenses, then you have to take it very seriously and you have to relieve yourself of that offense. Vaishnava Parana, you offend the devotee, you have to fall at the feet of the devotee and serve the devotee. And then, you know, it's okay. Any other question? No. Srila Prabhupada ki.